Welcome to Offbeat Tracks episode 137, which I wanted to say as individual numbers for some reason. I don't really know why.
1337 would be leap, but we're not there yet. Oh, yeah. That'll be a while.
That'll be quite a while, yes. My name is Max. Hello.
I'm Danielle.
This week we are talking about a super, super, super cool lady.
Yeah.
One might even call her a star.
Wow.
That's Miss Brenda K. Star.
Yes, Brenda K. Star.
And if you think you've never heard of her, you're probably right. But you've definitely heard one of her songs.
Absolutely, in one form or another.
Yes. So let's do our traditional background section here. Brenda K. Star was born in October of 1966 in New York, New York, which should be a surprise to no one because she is just like extremely New York.
Seems very New York.
Everything about her is very New York.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's, her real name's Brenda Kaplan, by the way.
Joy Kaplan, which is, something I did not expect. Did not know her dad was like a white Jew.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yep, so her dad's a white Jewish dude named, Harvey K. is what he went by.
Yes.
Harvey Kaplan. He was in the, pop group Spiral Staircase, who you might know from, they had a hit with the song More Today Than Yesterday. I love you more today than yesterday.
It is that song. A 1969 hit, and it sounds so 1969.
It does, but,
in the cheesiest pop way.
The dude who sings it, though, I can't remember that dude, the front man of that band, but he has an insane voice.
Absolutely.
Tom Upton, that's his name.
He has an
absolutely killer voice. it's so weird when you go listen to that song, because you're not expecting that.
Nope.
But the dude can frickin' sing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not Brenda K. Starr's dad, by the way. He played organ in the band.
Yes.
And if you go look up, there's like a good live performance of it. You can see Brenda K. Starr's dad going ham on the organ.
Mr. Starr.
Ham on the Hammond, if you will.
Oh, God.
You
are bringing the jokes today.
Thank you.
When did you become a dad, you dad jokester?
Never is the answer to that question. Musical family, musical upbringing. Brenda's big breakthrough, though, came in 1984 because she appeared in the film Beat Street, which I love very deeply.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to do a soundtrack episode for Beat Street.
Yeah, it deserves one.
But
apparently she got cast in it from just by chance meeting Harry Belafonte, a thing that is a very strange...
Apparently Harry Belafonte made Beat Street. I always forget that.
Yeah, no, which is also weird.
It is very weird.
You know, she just runs into Harry Belafonte and he's like, hey, I'm making this movie called Beat Street. And he's like, wow, you're making Beat Street? Strange.
Especially because she would have been like 17 years old.
Exactly, she's so young.
So I'm going to play the clip of her appearance in this because I love the song that she performs so very much. And it is absolute bullshit that this song did not appear on this movie soundtrack.
100% yes.
So, like, I have looked for years for, like, a fleshed-out full version of the song you're about to hear. It doesn't exist. Some delightful person on YouTube has, like, gone through and sort of spliced and, like, made an edit of it to, like, kind of try to draw it out to proper length. But, like, as you'll hear, there's dialogue over half of what you're about to hear. In German, because I guess this is the German dub version of the movie that this person ripped this scene from. That's okay, though. This song is so dope. It's called Vicious Beat. Here is Brenda K. Starr at like 18 years old in Beat Street performing Vicious Beat.
Damn it.
That's right. That's deep. Everybody jump to the vicious beat.
Ihr Manager will ich auch sprechen.
Warte einen Moment, Ken.
Wovon redest du, Mann?
Ich will, dass du da draußen in der Lobby wartest. Na los, ich weiß, was ich tue.
Was soll das? Wieso machst du so eine Show?
Kenny, ich bin gerade dabei, die größte Chance deines Lebens zu ergreifen.
Sehr gut, der nächste.
It's such a shame that we'll never get a full version of Vicious Beat, because that is such a freaking cool song.
The German overdub is killing me.
Yeah, it is funny. I really wish somebody would, because somebody had to produce Vicious Beat. That was a real song that was made in a studio. I'm guessing it was probably our boy Arthur Baker, because he was all over that movie and that soundtrack.
Ever since we've come back from our summer hiatus, Arthur Baker's been everywhere
He really has, and I'm not complaining a bit.
It's cool.
So yeah, I have no proof that was an Arthur Baker song, but like... all the signs are there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to hear it. And also, the three people who she's like auditioning for in that scene are the most ungrateful assholes. They're just looking at her like they're so unimpressed. And I'm like, dude, don't act like this isn't the tightest shit you've ever heard in your life.
Well, it's no spiral staircase.
That beat is vicious. It's right in the name of the song. Show some respect. So Arthur Baker does indeed sign Brenda Starr to a record deal. And her debut album comes out in September of the following year. Actually, her debut single came out. The album would follow soon after. But her debut single came out September of 1985, and it was called Picking Up Pieces. And it was a big old dance chart hit.
Oh, yeah.
It was a top 10 hit.
It should be. Just classic freestyle.
It is. It's just straight up.
It is like a roadmap of freestyle.
It is straight up Arthur Baker freestyle.
Picking Up Pieces. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
That's very true, yes.
Yeah, and it's a sad song that sounds happy. Which I enjoy,
because
it's dancing through the pain.
That's your thing.
That's what I like. I like dancing through the pain.
The next single that they tossed out off of Brenda's album, which had come out by now and was titled I Want Your Love, it was called Suspicion. And this is like a bit more of like a down-tempo kind of funky song. Was not a hit at all, did not chart anywhere, which is a shame because, you know, it's just as cute as Picking Up Pieces.
It is adorable. I love the little rap thing. I love that rap cadence from like the 80s. Like it's a super the Super Bowl shuffle cadence
yes.
is what I call it. It's still by far my favorite. And I know it's not cool anymore and we've moved on. But can we get like the next iteration of youth, like the Lil Nas X's, to bring that back?
That specific brand of rap I refer to as Zip Zap Rap. Which is specifically because there is an album by some dude, I think he called himself like Devastating Dave or something, but he called his album Zip Zap Rap. And it's a great album cover.
It's Zip Zap Rap.
Yeah, exactly. It's any like, rap that's like, who do? I do this and I do that. Like, I have to call it Zip Zap Rap. That's what it is.
Yes, this is Zip Zap Rap and I love it and I want it to come back. If you're talking sweet, I know you're being cool just to make me weak. I won't take it because it's all a lie. Oh, listen up, baby. I didn't look on the guy. Are you the one that I need? I wanna fight and all I'm asking of you, darling, is to treat me right.
Finally, Brenda's ballad off of this album, Love Me Like the First Time. I don't know, man. If I was in like seventh grade when this came out and I heard this at the middle school dance, it probably would have moved me.
I literally put this is a school dance song.
It totally is.
That's exactly what
That's
it
funny
is.
That we both thought of that. But it is, though. It is. Like this is definitely a school dance song. There is not a better way to describe it than that.
If you were in 1985, 86, whatever, and you were like going to make a movie about the school dance and you wanted to come up with that song, it would sound like this.
This is it. This is the song.
This is the song you create.
I did just want to talk about one more album cut because I just think it's a really, really tight song.
It is really good.
It's called I Can Love You Better. It's just, I love this one because it rides that glorious sweet spot between freestyle and dance pop for me. Is dance pop was still kind of like an emerging genre.
Yes.
Madonna had kind of kickstarted it a few years earlier. And I don't know, then it was like, we're right here, we're toeing that sweet line. And this song just totally nails that line for me, and I
Absolutely.
Love it.
Absolutely, and it does one of my favorite things, which is unnecessary strumming and the breakdown of a electric guitar that is nowhere else in
That's
the song.
True.
I love it, love it, more of it.
She's only playing games with you. She's been doing all before. Don't let her break your heart.
In late 1986, I think that that she had moved on to another label at this point. I get my 80s labels all mixed up, but I think the first album was on Mirage, which I think was a subsidiary of Atlantic. So Brenda's second album, which would kind of end up being her breakthrough album, spoiler alert, was on MCA. And I don't remember if they were a subsidiary of somebody else, but I don't think they were involved with Atlantic. So she had hopped labels by now, which actually now would be the time to mention of the three of Brenda's albums that we're going to discuss today. Unfortunately, this one, her biggest one, is not on Spotify. The first one, the freestyle album that's on Mirage, and the third album, which I think was RCA, maybe? Sony. That one is on Spotify as well. But this middle one that has arguably her best known songs is not on Spotify. Womp womp.
Interesting.
And also, yeah, like the music videos for it are like low quality, uploaded like 10, 11 years ago on YouTube. I don't know what's going on. Like somebody's trying to hide something in her career.
Ooh, that's an FBI investigation.
I'll get my hat. What you see is what you get is the first single off of Brenda's second album, which is a self-titled record. This single drops in late 1986, and it was a big old hit again.
Yeah.
Just kind of like Picking Up Pieces, she leads off with a really, really strong dance charting hit. This peaked at number six. And I think that it did end up getting re-released after she hit it big on the pop charts. So it charted again like two years later.
It was a good charter.
So the trajectory is a little tough to follow on some of these. But what you see is what you get. It's another straight up freestyle. Like,
it's what you see is what you get.
Yep.
It's exactly what it is. It's not any deeper. It's not any more. But it's just fun, good little freestyle song. Sneaky good synth bass. I was impressed. Mm-hmm. It was sneaky good. I liked it. It's good. It's a good one.
The album doesn't actually come out until July of 87. Again, the timing on these seems awfully strange because What You See Is What You Get comes out late 86, but I can't find any evidence of the next single, which was Breakfast in Bed, having come out until like December of 87. So I'm not really sure what the deal was here with why the long gaps. But
we deal with that a lot on this show.
But Breakfast in Bed drops as the next single. It's a number 18 dance hit. This is my Brenda K. Star song.
This is a great song.
I mean, this is the jam.
I was wanting it to be more about food. I was excited. I thought it was literally going to be about breakfast.
Oh, well, okay.
But also, I'm just worried for her because why does she want to commit to breakfast in bed all the time? That's going to get exhausting. You always have to wake up first. Like, I don't know, maybe, what if you want to sleep in? Anyway, preventing me from fully enjoying the song because I was overthinking the breakfast in bed.
This is where I might have to tick on the little explicit box. For this episode, but I'm pretty sure that, how can I phrase this delicately? If Brenda is committing to anything, I'm gonna posit that she's probably not the one having the breakfast. Is that subtle enough? I think the breakfast in bed is going to be eaten by someone else, and we'll just leave it at that.
I get it.
I do love her.
That is explicit.
Yes, it is.
Again, I thought you were literally talking about food again.
No, I think I kept that clean enough. I won't have to put the little red box.
I think I just have a food obsession. Yeah. So I'm just about food?
Same. I get it. I love her more mature look in this music video. She's like rocking the ponytail, and they shot a couple scenes of her like walking on the street in New York with it. And I also, she does one of my favorite 80s fashion things here. She's got like the tutu on with the leggings and the sneakers and the high socks. Oh, I'm so gay for that look. I love it. February of 1988, Brenda drops what would be the biggest hit of her career on the pop charts and arguably her signature song.
Yes.
I Still Believe. And this is, to me, this is one of those songs that, what do you even say about this? Because it is, to me, one of the greatest pop ballads ever in the history of pop music.
It really is. It's very good. This was remade by Mariah, of course, because Mariah was her background singer at the time.
Yes, so we...
I guess we can
touch on that now, but yes.
Yeah, because this was how I was introduced to the song when I was a kid, because I was obsessed with Mariah Carey, and this was the single off of her, like, number ones album when I was, like, 13 or something.
Right.
And I was obsessed.
Mariah Carey became a backup singer for Brenda K. Starr as she signed with MCA, and... was on the second album. So, like, I guess when they toured this second album, this would have been when Mariah was a backup singer for Brenda K. Starr. And the legend is, according to the interviews that I've watched with them, that Brenda gave Mariah's demo tape to Tommy Mottola.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Mariah ended up signed with a record deal.
Yep, and how Mariah got a husband.
And yeah, Mariah, as you pointed out, years later, to say thanks to Brenda, covered this song. And I'm going to tell you right now, Brenda K. Starr sings this song better than Mariah Carey does, and that's a fact.
Okay, I don't know if I could ever agree that anyone could sing a song better than Mariah Carey.
I know that sounds counterintuitive, because Mariah Carey is arguably one of the greatest vocalists who's ever lived, but I am telling you, if you compare their two versions, I will take Brenda's any day over Mariah's. I like the composition better. I like Brenda's delivery better. Mariah kind of makes it more of an R&B song, and Brenda keeps it a pop song, and I like this better as a pop song than I do an R&B song.
So I will take
that's
that.
What it comes down
I
to.
I will take that as a good explanation, other than, like, you know, Mariah sucks, because she does not suck.
Mm-mm.
Good.
No. Okay. God, why would I ever say
also,
that?
Also, can you just imagine having Mariah Carey as your background singer?
I would
just be like, why am I... No. Fire her. Like, I'm not trying to get upstaged by my backup singer, who kind of looks like me.
Yeah,
but
that's
like
true. You know, I didn't really think about that.
Yeah,
you're right.
They look very similar to me. Like the 1989 Brenda K. Starr versus Mariah Carey.
Yep.
You know, 1989. They look the same. They have the same hair. Same face, really.
Yep.
It's, anyway.
Also, you want to talk middle school dance music. Imagine being at a school dance in this plate. Isn't that, like, so kind of actually sweet and romantic to think about?
Yeah, it makes me want to cry.
Yeah, this, again, what do you say about this? It's just, it's one of the greatest pop ballads ever of all time.
It's classic. It's classic and simple and cute.
Brenda does release one more single from this album, Straight from the Heart, which is very cute, but very forgettable.
That's exactly what I wrote. I actually, like, when I was going back through before we went here, I couldn't remember what the song was. And I was like, this must, like, I wasn't kidding when it was forgettable. I kept having to listen to it, like, what? What was it?
But I mean, how do you follow up I Still Believe,
no,
you know?
No, you don't. I think that's the issue.
So Brenda did actually do three songs for three different soundtracks, but for two reasons, we're only going to talk about one of them. You like my little 3-2-1 there?
Yeah,
I just kind of came up with that off the cuff.
Okay.
So
look at Max here. He knows how to count.
That's right.
You don't get that anywhere
so
else.
So the two reasons that we're not going to talk about the other two are because I want to do full episodes on those soundtracks because I like them a lot.
Oh, okay.
The one we are going to talk about, I also think that soundtrack deserves an episode as well, but we're going to talk about it because this song, unlike the other two, was actually included on a Brenda K. Starr album, not just on the soundtrack.
Good.
So You Should Be Loving Me was actually on Brenda K. Starr's second self-titled album. And that's why we're going to talk about it. And it is a really nice... Again, we're kind of back to the towing the line between dance pop and freestyle thing. This was on the soundtrack to the movie She's Out of Control.
You know I love a, this is clearly a bad movie I've never heard of, Clickfest.
Oh, yes.
Have you ever, is it?
I've never seen it, but it looks absolutely horrible.
Yeah. You know, you gotta love a movie that stars Tony Danza.
hey, daughter, you can't date nobody. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
That's honestly what the whole movie's
about. That line
is
probably in the movie. I don't.
Which is like the most stupid trope of like life. When
oh my god!
Oh no, my daughter was.
My daughter want to date somebody. I'm a big dumb dude.
That's actually a very good Tony Danza.
Literally, I just did the entire blue collar comedy tour. Like that's like 80% of their jokes.
But like if it were Italian.
All
the
right.
Italian blue collar. Yeah. It's like your local mechanic in the Bronx comedy tour,
yeah,
I guess.
There you go.
But I just wanted to read really quickly the Roger Ebert.
Please review. Please lay it on me what Roger Ebert thought of She's Out of Control.
The review is better than the movie, I think. What planet did the makers of this film come from? What assumptions do they have about the purpose and quality of life? I ask because She's Out of Control is simultaneously so bizarre and so banal that it's a first. The first movie fabricated entirely from sitcom cliches and plastic lifestyles without reference to any known plane of reality. So I'm going to see if I can get it on Amazon. I'm like, that's my Saturday night, if you ask me.
So Brenda actually does have one more minor hit in 1990, late 1990, because she appears on a song with George LaMond, who was a huge dude in the freestyle community.
Yep.
This dude had freestyle hit after freestyle hit. He was huge. But they did a ballad, like a poppy freestyle ballad together called No Matter What, that was a minor hit. Almost cracked the top 40. It was very close. This song to me is so funny to listen to because like he does the whole like first verse and everything and he's whatever. And then she comes in, and she's, like, such a better singer than he is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it, like to the point where it's almost awkward.
Yeah. I felt awkward the whole entire song. Like, something about it just doesn't work. And I can't tell what it is. I don't know if it's her, or if it's him, or if it's both, or it's the song. I think it might just be the song. Mm-hmm. I think it's just corny and forgettable, really. And it shouldn't be.
It is. But again, I bet middle school dances. I bet this was a big hit, the middle
Absolutely.
School dances.
Cool, yeah.
We'll get through.
I don't think I actually mentioned the other two movies, by the way, that she did a song on the soundtrack for. One was License to Drive, which has a fantastic soundtrack. Mm-hmm. The other was from around this time. It was Lambada. She did a song on the Lambada soundtrack, which, of course.
Of course.
Her third album came out in 1991. It was called By Heart. The lead single was If You Could Read My Mind, and I was so ready for this to be a Gordon Lightfoot cover.
I know, me too.
But
like, or like a cover of the Viola Willis cover of the Gordon Lightfoot song.
Yes.
You know, the like disco cover?
Yes, yes, cover. Exactly.
God, that is a great song, by the way.
God, remember the, what was it, Stars on 45?
Yeah.
They did a version of it, too.
It's a jam. Yeah. But this is not that song.
No,
so,
this is not that song.
So, sorry.
Sorry,
yes. Looking for that.
Sorry to bring you into the same disappointment that we both felt, apparently. But the song actually is quite,
I really like
quite
it.
Cute. Yeah,
I really like it, even though it's not Gordon Lightfoot. But yeah, it's perfectly early 90s. Like, the transition is there. It's very good. You know, whether it's forgettable or not, I don't know. But I really like it.
Yep. And Brenda's second single off of this is What If, and I'm going to fill in the rest of the title, which is What If We Just Didn't Release This Song. Because it's kind of boring. That's the full unredacted title.
What if we didn't release this song?
Just saying.
Well,
I mean, it's kind of forgettable.
Absolutely. It's more mature, which I like.
It is, yes.
I like that step. I respect that step. That's as much as I'm going to say about it. You know it makes me wonder.
So this is kind of where we hop off the Brenda K. Star train, because I feel we're unqualified to talk about her music beyond this, because she kind of exclusively became a Latin music artist.
Yeah, she learned Spanish so she could get into salsa.
Right, which is
cool.
This is a, like a totally lesson for white people to not judge books by their covers and whatnot, or people based on the color of their skin, as it were. Because, yeah, Brenda K. Star, despite being of the heritage that she is, grew up in America and does not speak Spanish. So, she had to learn Spanish to become a Latin artist. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. That's her experience. She broke through with a cover of a song called Herida in 1997, which I'm not familiar with, but apparently it was a big Latin music hit. And that was kind of her breakthrough. And she's been a very, very successful Latin music artist since then. Has had a couple of number ones on those charts. I was checking that out yesterday on Billboard's site. Old Brenda K is doing just fine. I think she had a stint as a radio DJ as well. Which, again, I feel like that's just a very New York thing. She's just an extremely New York artist.
Yeah. Apparently she lives in New Jersey now. And her daughter was on American Idol, apparently. Her daughter was on American Idol.
Really?
Yeah. A few years ago. Her name is, she married some Italian guy. Get ready for this New Jersey Italian name. Gianna Isabella.
Nice.
Yes. So, she's out there trying to do her thing. I found her Twitter, too. She has pictures, like, posing with her mom.
Oh, my God. That's so cute.
It's adorable. Brenda K. looks like a very cool mom.
A very cool...
But she looks like a mom, but, like, you know, she's cool.
But, like, I'm a cool mom.
I'm like a cool mom. Yeah, I don't know. It's just very cute to see.
I can see that.
Yeah, it's very cute. She's, like, so cool, and she, like, does, like, the silly... teenage girl poses with her. It's very adorable.
It's funny. I didn't realize, now that we've gone through this episode, like, basically Brenda K. Starr was the queen of middle school dance music. with an occasional club banger thrown in there.
That's probably true. Yeah. That's what she is.
And never forget, Justice for Vicious Beat. One day.
Justice for Vicious Beat.
I want Vicious Beat. I want to be able to listen to the full version of Vicious Beat. That's all I want.
Yeah. I think... I'll vote for whatever candidate comes up with that as their platform.
There you go.
Yeah.
So if you would like to join our Twitter campaign to resurrect Vicious Beat and get a full version released.
We're looking for a whole 10 people to join us.
Yes. Please tweet at us and follow us on Twitter. We are at Offbeat Tracks.
Yeah, and we have a website where you can go on there and email us and look at stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever you do on websites, you can do that there. At offbeattrackscast.com.
Yes, and you can listen to all of our previous episodes there as well and find a playlist for this in which I will also be sure to link that that extended fan version of Vicious Beat that someone made.
Yes. Only the German overdubs, though.
No, please. No, that's not the clip from the movie.
No, but
yes.
I want the German overdub.
Oh, okay. You want that version.
I want the whole movie in German.
Well, we have an angry message to send. We'll see you next time.